Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our collect for the day, the prayer that kind of sums up everything, we prayed that God would keep us from the temptations of the devil. Now, those are all sorts of temptations, but one in particular that we really attribute to the devil, and that's the temptation of pride and arrogance. So we see Satan tempt Adam and Eve with in the garden. They come to Adam and Eve and they say, "Don't you want to be like God? Don't you question what he said?" And he tempts them into that pride, and that's the devil's own sinful nature too. And his own pride is what causes his fall. That pride, that wanting to put ourselves above others, is something that infects us to the very being of our sinful nature. That's how we are as sinners. We think of ourselves first, and so we look at others and we want to bring them down. And that's what we see in our gospel lesson in particular today. It's a lesson about pride and arrogance. And that's what we see with the Pharisees. The Pharisees, here they are, and they have Jesus in their midst, and they can invite Jesus over for dinner. Jesus, who they despise because he's eating with tax collectors and sinners and all of those kind of people, as the Pharisees would maybe say. They despise that, and yet they want Jesus to eat with them. And the reason is not because they love Jesus and want to learn from him. It's because they think that they can trap him, that they can prove Jesus wrong, that they can lower him and make themselves look better. And so they have Jesus over on a Sabbath, a day that has all sorts of rules and regulations attached to it. And as Luke tells us, what do they do there? They have Jesus over on this Sabbath day, and they watch him closely. Not because they want to learn from him. That's why you should watch someone closely. They watch him closely the way that our sinful nature watches others closely. And that's because we want to see them slip up. We want to catch the one bad thing that they say, so we can latch onto it, so we can pull it down. And in pulling them down, we pull ourselves up. And that's what you see with the Pharisees here in today's text. They have this pride that's above all other pride, is they have this pride thinking that they are going to be able to trap Jesus, one who has never made a mistake, one who has gone through all these tests that the Pharisees and scribes have put in front of him and others as well, and always came out obeying the law and doing what he is supposed to do. They have the pride that they think they're going to catch him, and of course they don't. Jesus instead, by this time of the gospel, is almost getting frustrated, I'm sure, with these traps that are being set out to see what he will do so they can bring him down and get people to stop looking at Jesus and start looking at me. That's what the Pharisees wanted. Jesus, though, turns the tables on them and says, "All right, if you want to ask the questions, I'll ask you the questions, and you tell me." Wisely, they were quiet. They could not answer Jesus his questions. And they were indeed humbled. Not completely, though. And that's what Jesus saw. You see, while they had Jesus there and they were watching him closely, Luke tells us that Jesus was watching them as well. And this is what he saw. He saw pride. He saw arrogance. He saw them coming to these feasts and this dinner table and taking the seats of preference, the seats where somebody's supposed to be, when they really shouldn't have been there. But that was their nature too. They wanted to be seen, and so they took the places of prominence. And Jesus says, "No, don't do that. In fact, what you should do, if you really want to be seen," and he gives somewhat of a practical advice here, "if you really want to be seen by others, don't sit yourself at the head table. Instead, go down low so that when you are brought up, everybody will see you. When you go to a wedding feast, don't sit there where the bride and the groom are supposed to sit. You're going to get knocked down. Sit elsewhere and be brought up if you really want to be seen," which is what Jesus saw that these Pharisees wanted. And sadly, it's what we want as well. Our pride takes over. We want others to see ourselves and to see the good that we do, and so we wish that people would see that. And that's not what we're supposed to be. In truth, what we're supposed to be is like Jesus, humble. So go out and do that. Be humble. I tell myself that all the time. I tell other people too. Here's the problem, though, is we'll go home and we'll say, "All right, I am going to be more humble," but then our sinful pride even latches onto that and says, "Do you know how humble I'm going to be? I'm going to be so humble that people will see me, and they'll see my humbleness, and then they'll think great things about me." That's our sinful pride. Even taking something like humility, and we use it to have others look at us. And that's why that bit of advice that Jesus kind of teases the Pharisees with, probably latches onto their ears. Yes, I'll go and I'll sit at the lowest so that when the people come in, they'll raise me up and seat me. Obviously, that's not necessarily what we're supposed to do. Jesus is talking about something far greater than a wedding feast. He's talking about our relationship with him. And these Pharisees and their sinful pride that is trying to bring Jesus down, they need to be humbled just as much as we do. Thanks be to God that he humbles us. Why? Well, because we're awful at humbling ourselves. Even when we try to do that, we end up taking pride in that. What true humility is not just lowering ourselves. True humility looks at everybody else in the world and truly sees them as worth more than me. Sees them as somebody worth giving things up for. Somebody who is worth something far more than me. And the problem is none of us are that way. Repent. Thanks be to God, that's not the end of the story, though. Because what we see with Jesus throughout the Gospels is not that it ends here at this story. We see the rest of the story, too. And we see that with the things Jesus tells us to do, be humble, be patient, be loving, be kind, the things that we aren't, that we don't do, well, as often is the case and always is the case, as usual, when Jesus tells us what to do, well, he goes on and he actually does it. See, none of us can humble ourselves because even our sinful pride ends up latching onto that humility and thinking highly and thinking, well, at least I'm more humble than that person. The only one that can truly actually humble himself is Jesus Christ. And that's what he does. That's what St. Paul tells us in the letter to the Philippians. He who did not count equality with God, a thing to be grasped, he humbled himself and took on our human flesh. That's the joy of Christmas. True humility. God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who knit you together in your mother's womb, is humble and takes on our own humanity inside the womb of the Virgin Mary and grows up in that humility, having to do things like learn how to walk, learn how to eat, even to have his diaper changed. God, who created the heavens and the earth, takes on that humility, and not even that, but then he goes and he grows and he goes into the waters of baptism that are for sinners. And that's why John doesn't want Jesus to be baptized. He says, Jesus, no, I should be baptized by you. And Jesus says, no, those waters are for me too. Even though he is the one without sin, he goes into those waters that are marked for sinners. And he does it for you. He does it so that he can take on all of your sin. And so that he can go to the cross and there be completely humiliated and humbled as he carries the weight of all of your sin and all of mine and all of the world on his shoulders, as he suffers the wrath of the Father that we truly deserve. And that's the joy for us too, then. Because there, humbling himself, do you know what Jesus does? He becomes exalted. And that's what Jesus says. He who humbles himself will be exalted. And what he's talking about is himself. He will be humbled, but then the Father will exalt him as he raises him from the dead and seats him at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And the true joy for you and for me and for Bryson and for every one of us here is that when Jesus is lifted up, he carries you with him. There in the waters of baptism, we just saw Bryson be baptized into that death and that humility of Jesus Christ. Baptized into that death, crucified with Jesus. That's the way St. Paul puts it in Romans chapter 6. Buried with Jesus in baptism was Bryson, was me, was you, but then lifted out of that with Jesus as well. You are children of God. Thanks be to God. He comes even with our pride, and he looks at the Pharisees, and he looks at you, and he sees all of your wickedness, but he doesn't do it in the way the Pharisees did it, to try and trap us and make us look bad and him good. The reason he looks at us is because of his love for us. Far greater than even the love of a mother and a father for their child is his love for you. So much that he gives himself up to death, humiliates himself there at the cross, so that he can raise you in that promise of forgiveness. Bryson's now been baptized into that life and that death of Jesus Christ, the only one who truly could humble himself as he did in taking on our flesh, going to the cross, going into the grave, coming up out of it, and we're brought out too, forgiven and loved by God. When he looks at you, he does not see that pride. He sees Jesus, clothed with his righteousness. He sees one who is completely forgiven by God. That's what he sees when he looks at Bryson. That's what he sees when he looks at you. One who has been redeemed by that blood of Jesus Christ. And so our prayer is that God would indeed humble us when we become proud. And let us see in our humility the joy of what he did for us. How he came and suffered for you. Died for you. Was raised for you. So that you have that promise of eternal life. Now may this peace of God that surpasses all of our understanding, may it guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ your Lord. Amen. This time